this morning, our special, is a video, another song that has touched me in various ways. And as we hear it today, I hope and pray that we will consider this morning what it meant for Jesus to weep outside of the tomb of Lazarus. I hope that in the midst of maybe our weeping, our questioning, our wondering, that this song would be a comfort to us. Certainly it doesn't answer the questions of why, but hopefully it helps us to know that in the midst of our pain, Jesus weeps right alongside us. Amen. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward, even those that are weeping, for our children's moment. How are you all doing this morning? Y'all doing all right? Does anybody want an egg? All right. get one? Want to get an egg? You can open them, just don't open what's inside the egg. That's all I ask. So what is inside your egg?
Bubbles.
That's right. What do bubbles do? And why is everyone out there worried? What do bubbles do when you blow them? Do they float? Yeah? If I can get this out of here. Yeah, we don't want to pop them today, all right? So we got bubbles, all right? Well, two. All right, bubbles float, right? Well, when they work, they do. All right, you're just going to have to trust me. They float. Now, today, we've got bubbles because we're going to talk about Jesus' ascension. After Jesus dies and after he rises again, he comes and he talks with his disciples and he spends some time with them. And after he spends time with them, he takes them out to a mountain to give them some final instructions. And then after that, he ascends. And the ascends just means that he went up to heaven and he went up to where his Father was. And he did that to show us and remind us of what it would look like when he returns. Get down, please. Stop ascending the kneeler there. Get down. And we remember with bubbles that Jesus goes up, and he goes up to be with God, and we know that in the same way that he has gone, he is going to return, and he's going to come again, and he's going to call all of us. I see that. And he's going to call all of us to heaven to be with him, okay? So I want us to be mindful this morning that with our love and trust in Jesus, we will one day get to be with him in heaven, okay? So we're going to pray before this gets any more out of hand, and then you all are free to go to children's church. All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you that you have ascended to be at God's right side, Lord, and we look forward to your return. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go to children's church. As I mentioned a moment ago, our scripture this morning is John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. And in it we have what has been for many people their favorite scripture verse because it's the easiest one to remember. Jesus wept. And so this morning I want to read for us verses 1 through 45. It's not enough for us to hear that Jesus wept. Let's get some context of the story here in John chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Hear now the word of our Lord. A certain man, Lazarus, was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God, so that God's Son can be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was. After 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let's return to Judea again." The disciples replied, "Rabbi, the Jewish opposition wants to stone you, but you want to go back?" Jesus answered, "Aren't there 12 hours in the day? Whoever walks in the day doesn't stumble because they see the light of the world, but whoever walks in the night does stumble because the light isn't in them." He continued, "Our friend Lazarus is sleeping, but I am going in order to wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he will get well." They thought Jesus meant that Lazarus was in a deep sleep, but Jesus had spoken about Lazarus' death. Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. For your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you can believe. Let's go to him." Then Thomas, the one called Didymus, said to the other disciples, "Let us go too so that we may die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was a little less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to comfort Martha and Mary after their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She replied, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one who is coming into the world." After she said this, she went and spoke privately to her sister Mary, "The teacher is here and he's calling for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. He hadn't entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were comforting Mary in the house saw her get up quickly and leave, they followed her. They assumed she was going to mourn at the tomb. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying also, he was deeply disturbed and troubled. He asked, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to cry. The Jews said, "See how much he loved him." But some of them said, "He healed the eyes of a man born blind. Couldn't he have helped keep Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you again for this day, for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray now that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be your words and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be obedient to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus wept. I don't know about you, but I am often saddled with the question after reading this, what are we to make of this? Why does he weep? He just told us in verse 25 that he is the resurrection and the life. Why is he weeping? Why is he crying? What is he doing here? To me, I've always understood weeping to be something that someone does when they've reached the end of what they can do or what they can handle, or at least that's been my experience. When I get to something that I just can't quite figure out, especially if it's something painful, tears are the only thing that seem to work. They don't answer anything, but it's a release, if you will. It isn't weakness. I can remember being told, don't cry. Men don't cry. Boys don't cry. I've found that real men do cry, and I try to cry at least once a day to prove that I'm a real man. When we cry, we're sad when we cry because we don't know what else to do, right? There's just no answers. There's nothing left for us. Weeping, I think, is the painful acceptance of our own limitations. We weep because we have accepted painfully our own limitations. And so again, it begs the question, why does Jesus weep? If he is the resurrection and the life, certainly he has not reached his limitations. I think there are several reasons he does this, and each of them shows and helps to again to solidify for us Christ's love and great passion and desire for us. I think when Jesus weeps, first of all, this is where Jesus' incarnation reaches its fulfillment. Now, we use the big fancy word incarnation usually around Christmas time. Oh, baby Jesus is born. Everyone's happy. Life is good. This Christ child has been born. And we talk about the incarnation. And I don't think he's fully incarnated maybe until this point. Because it's not until here, when he is hurting, that he is truly human. In the midst of hurt, in the midst of pain. Before this passage, throughout the book of John, we see Jesus healing. We see him performing signs and miracles. We see him restoring people. But it's here, in chapter 11, verse 35, that Jesus truly identifies us with us the most, in his hurt and in his pain. It's here that he truly begins to understand what it means to be human, to be limited in some form or fashion. This is the first time we see Jesus' complete humanness with all its limitations. Because again, when we think of Jesus, we think of him as God, God's Son, but we have to remember that he was also human. 100% human being with all of the same limitations that we have as human beings. And here he takes Mary and Martha's pain upon himself. And it's not just their pain. It's not just the pain at these friends who have lost their brother, but we see that this was the one whom Jesus loved in verse 3. It was a very dear friend of his who has passed away. This passage reminds us that Jesus came not just to save us from our sins, but he also came to identify with our hurt and with our pain. He came to walk a mile in our shoes, if you will. He came so that he may truly know what it means to be human, and so that he might redeem that, so that all of us might be redeemed. Here he reaches the fulfillment of his incarnation. I think, secondly, Jesus weeps because of what he's about to do to Lazarus, for Mary and Martha. Could it be that Jesus weeps because he is about to bring Lazarus from heaven back to earth? That's an interesting way to look at it, isn't it? Could it be that he knows exactly where Lazarus is at this point and thinks, my goodness gracious, I've got to bring him back here? Have any of you all ever waited in line for something exciting only to get almost there and then say it's closed? Anyone? Am I the only one that sensed that frustration? All right, a few of us. He is there. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. John shows us twice, or mentions this twice, and this is important for us to know. Again, according to Jewish thought, someone wasn't truly considered dead until 3 days after they passed, right? There was a 3-day period. Again, that's why Jesus rose on the third day. He had to prove that he was dead. The reason for this is because the Jews believe that it takes 3 days for the soul to transition from the body to heaven. There was a 3-day process here. And he's in day 4, which means not only has he made it to heaven, but he's got to sit back and relax and enjoy all the benefits of God's presence in all of its glory and all of its majesty. And Jesus is thinking to himself, I've got to bring him back from that? Who else can identify with Lazarus what it looks like to come from the Father's presence to this earth? Jesus. Because that's exactly what he has done. Consider the internal struggle, the emotions going through Jesus' mind. His humanness rejoices in the fact that he gets to bring Lazarus back, that he gets to be with his friend, that he gets to sit around the table with him and talk with him as he has done before. But on a spiritual level, the divinity of Christ mourns Lazarus' return because he knows where he is. Because he is where Jesus is longing to return. All of us in here have lost loved ones. We all know that those who die in Christ are better off, right? We know that. We know that up here. We know that in here. If we really thought about it, none of us would ever dare ask them to return, would we? Jesus weeps because his Father's will is for Lazarus to return, for Lazarus to come back and to be a living testament of who God is. Jesus' love for the Father means embracing his humanness at every level. It means embracing and recognizing this mysterious thing we call death and turning it around and saying, no, that's not the final chapter. I am the resurrection and I am life. This story reminds us that Jesus is in control of death, of life, and of resurrection. He's got it figured out. He's taken care of it for us. If we would simply accept it and recognize him for who he is, both God and man, one who has conquered and one who hurts. And just because he's in control of it does not mean he doesn't hurt when we hurt. In the midst of our pain, in the midst of our struggle, we have Mary and Martha here saying, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus, why? Why have you done this? And all the time, he is there weeping with us. He knows what this is like. You see, God is not some disconnected entity. We like to make him that, though, because it makes it easy for us to blame him for bad things that happen. When the reality of it is, he is hurting right along with us. He is where we are. He meets us in our joy, in our laughter. He meets us in our wandering, and he meets us in our weeping. Because that is who God is. He is God with us. He is the Word made flesh. He is the resurrection and the life. I pray this morning that we might stop blaming God for all of the bad things that happen. I pray this morning that if we can, we might take a step back from our pain and try to recognize and view it in light of God's pain that he shares with us and join him in weeping. And when that is done, to join him in rejoicing that he is the resurrection and that he is the life, knowing that he is going to bring and has already brought everything under his control. There are so few things that we can control in this life. But at the end of the day, we can know that God is in control. And I hope and pray during this Lenten season, I hope and pray that as we approach Palm Sunday, and Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday, and as we prepare to enter this place on Easter morning, that we might consider that. That we might be mindful of all that God has done and is doing with us. That we might recognize him not just as God, but as man. As one who hurts with us. Not seeking to provide answers, just being with us. And I hope that brings us comfort. I hope that in lieu of answers, it brings us solace. I hope that we will recognize Christ's love for us in his joy and in his weeping. Gracious God, you are so very good to us at every step. Forgive us for those moments where we think it's your fault or that you have designed something that seems so horrible. Help us to embrace the hurt, to walk through it with you, and to come out on the other side, knowing that you are the resurrection, that you are life, and that in you we have nothing to fear. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all these things in Christ's name.